Welcome to the Product Podcast by Product School. Here's a preview of today's talk.
In general, core product expertise, what was my experience before? So I worked for a small company, I worked for a big global companies. So I have experience working with launching completely new products, which requires a different type of skill set as a product manager. All products are going through various different life cycles. You could be working with a product that is just being concepted, like it's something completely new. So you're launching that product to the market and you're helping the product to reach the product market fit where actually generating money. There is profit from your product. You could be working with products that have already been on the market for a very long time. So mature products and the strategies that you would use to bring those products to life are completely different. So it's mostly focused on innovation. So you as a product manager will be thinking through the future of those products in a different concept. Or you could be having some products that are dead, no longer have the future, have to figure out how to work with existing customer base and provide them an alternative solution, or how to come up with a new product that will be generating money and then launch it successfully to the market.
In this podcast, we teach our listeners valuable lessons about product management and transform them into thinking like a product manager. We teach product management, coding, data analytics, and blockchain in 14 campuses worldwide, including San Francisco, New York, and Seattle. You can find more information at productschool.com. Join our Slack community of 25,000 professionals to network and stay tuned for our upcoming events.
I'm going to talk about my background, what I do as a product manager, and it's open for you guys and then ask me questions about the courses coming out in October, as well as in general what product management is, if you're still in the process of deciding if that's something you're interested in and it's a career path you want to take. So I'm the product manager at HubSpot. For those who are unfamiliar with HubSpot, I have some quick stats. HubSpot is a company here founded in Cambridge. We're currently located in Cambridge, and so I'm also famous for the marketing software and in general concept of inbound marketing. They started in 2006. Currently, we have nearly 50,000 customers across 100 different countries. And the big event that's coming up, the big event that is a major scene for HubSpot is the Inbound. It's a conference for marketing, sales, service professionals. It's actually next week, and we have about 24,000 people attending that conference. And the whole product and engineering team is using that as a platform to launch a lot of our new features and software. So it's a very crazy week for us this week coming up for Inbound, as well as the Inbound itself, where a lot of things happening. So my background and how I got into product management and what did it before that. So before HubSpot, I worked as a senior product manager at Experian. So Experian is also a large global company, and I worked there with global product lines across all the different regions. I worked for data quality and data management side of Experian. I know a lot of you probably heard of Experian as a credit bureau. We do other things as well, mostly using the data from the credit bureau to enhance and develop software products. So all my past in product management has been in software product management. Prior to that, I worked at a small startup, also as a product manager, and that's kind of what became my platform, where I was able to transition from my mostly analytics background, as you know, it's everything from being an analyst, working with marketing IT and operations, which helped me to learn a lot of different tools in marketing, like MarTech technologies, marketing automation systems, CRM systems, BI tools and platforms, and I operated all of that as an analyst, so working with data, trying to understand how you can read the data, how you can understand the insights and apply them to business. And then I was hired by a small marketing agency that wanted to build a software that would leverage all the analytics and provide customers with an easy way to understand the insights through a SaaS platform. So I was a part of a very small team from the very beginning. I just worked, it was me and the CTO. He was building a product, and we had an outsourced team in Belarus. So me knowing Russian was actually very helpful because I could work with the development team, and I ended up being a person who knew how the product was built technically, what was possible, and then I became a point of contact for prospects and customers who interacted with our tool to provide feedback. So if you think about it, there's only so many people, and there's one person that knows all the feedback, how the product is built. So at some point, people are going to start asking questions. What should we build next? And that pretty much summarizes the whole world of a product manager. You talk to customers, you understand the market, you understand how the product is built, and then you decide what should we build next. So at some point, that's kind of how I transitioned into becoming a product manager. And my background, people often ask about what degrees do you have, how do you get to product management, and unfortunately, other than these several programs or experience throughout work, you don't really have any official degrees in product management. My actual background is I got my master's here in the US, master's in business from Cambridge College, and before that I studied my undergrad in Ukraine, and it was Bachelor of Science in Sociology. So a lot of market research and statistics space, which was logical why I was in analytics. So the next one is just in general core product expertise. So when you guys are thinking about different questions, I can tell you what was my experience before. So I worked for a small company, I worked for a big global company. So I have experience working with launching completely new products, which requires a different type of skill set as a product manager. All products are going through various different life cycles. You could be working with a product that is just being concepted, like it's something completely new. So you're launching that product to the market, and you're helping the product to reach the product market fit where actually generating money. There is profit from your product. You could be working with products that have already been on the market for a very long time, so mature products, and the strategies that you would use to bring those products to life are completely different. So it's mostly focused on innovation, differentiation. You could be having products that are growing very slowly or are being cannibalized by competitors. So you as a product manager will be thinking through the future of those products in a different concept. Or you could be having some products that are dead, no longer have the future, have to figure out how to sustain those products, how to work with existing customer base and provide them an alternative solution, or how to come up with a new product that will be generating money and then launch it successfully to the market. As well as right now, I'm working with a very scaling product. So a product that is growing, has already reached the product market fit, it's not a mature product yet, which means that we're basically in a crazy rush to develop a lot of things. So the speed of development is very different. And that's why you will be working with the teams that will help you with a lot of various parts of product management. So if you're working at a startup, it's very likely that you are doing all the research yourself, you're working with the development teams, you're talking to customers, so you're learning a lot, but you're also differentiating your skill set. You'll be doing a lot of different things. If you're working in a larger market and with scaling products like right now, HubSpot has a lot of different teams that help product managers. So I would be focusing working specifically with the development team, but I have a research team that can help me spin out the research, I don't have to dedicate my time to do that. I have product marketing that helps to launch products to market and prepare the positioning, research and understand the customers and which segments I should be working with. As well as the concept of just global market, all the products that I work with have a global presence. So I work with North America, office is located here, but my product is sold in iPad, EMEA, so I need to understand concepts of internationalization, localization, right? My software has to work in different languages. It also has to be understood by people from different backgrounds and cultures. So having that concept of, even though you're here, people that interact with your product all across the world is very helpful in having notion of experience. As well as just in general, product management is a lot of decision making. So having an analytics background is very helpful. Right now, there's so many different data points that you have. You can have the tracking with a new tool, so you can understand what exactly, how customers are interacting with your products. What are the interactions that they're having, what's working, what's not working, and you can make decisions based on what should be the next priority for your product, as well as the next priority for your team. So as a product manager, you constantly get asked by engineers, what should I work on next? What is the next priority? In order for you to understand that, leveraging this type of information is very helpful. So this is kind of where my background is. This is what I do on a daily basis. And you guys can move into question and answers. Yeah,
first question. I was going to ask for an interruption. Can you go back one second? Can you talk about that second last bubble, the Scrum product owner?
Yeah, so there are different technologies. So as a product manager, right, you're not only looking at the product itself. The product also has to be built. In order to build the product, you work with the engineering team. And it's basically like a project becomes at that point. So that's the project management part of the product management tool. You have to effectively translate to engineers what needs to be built, and then they have to have certain methodologies in place to be efficient in developing that. So historically, there's been a lot of different ways of organizing it. There's Kanban, as an example, which is a technique where you basically go into the glass door and you start taping different cards saying, you know, we have four elements of this work, three are completed, the fourth is not completed, something is blocking it. So you visualize where you are in progressing towards the work being done. Some of the more modern methodologies, very widely used and very famous, are around Scrum methodologies, which is a very, it's basically processes and methodologies in place to help organize the development process. So if you had an idea and you want to develop an idea, going through a Scrum process will help you get there. And the concept there is that you define and you break more into a logical pieces of organized items. So if you have a big feature, you'll say, you know, in order to get that big feature, we're going to need to do 10 steps. Each week, we're going to dedicate some goals and we say how many of these 10 steps are going to be developed. So if we run in sprints of 1 week, each Monday, me and development team will meet and we'll say, okay, can we do this one thing this week? Can we complete this? And they will tell me, yes, we can complete this, or no, we can do half of this one thing. That'll be our goal. We'll check in daily, that's daily scrums, and we'll check, are we there yet? What's happening? So that allows me to be informed about where we are in the process and keep informed the rest of the team. So if we have services, sales, knowledge base article writers, everyone's waiting for the feature to be released, they'll know if it's actually good to happen on this particular day. You might be organizing a crowd of events, like Inbound as an example. So keeping everyone informed, having those daily check-ins is super helpful. And then in the end, if it's developed, we do team retrospectives where we say, did we do a good job? Was everything going as we planned? Or was there some issues in the process? And how can we fix those issues going forward? And then we leverage that knowledge from retrospectives to make sure that the process continuously improves.
So were you product owner against multiple products?
Yes, correct.
Because
so
you were dealing with offshore resources. So you had minimum 50 offshore.
So at the experience, actually, my development team was in New York.
Okay.
This short.
I guess I'm having a difficulty understanding, and that's one reason why I continue to come back to your classes. I'm having difficulty understanding the position within product creation, say, where product management lives. And that's where you're the first product manager to actually say that you were assigned to be product owner as well. Into a singular Scrum team. A singular Scrum team in a sprint is very difficult to have a large output, large product coming out of that kind of agile mentality.
Yeah. And
so you have to, they get built up over time. So from a maintenance standpoint, that makes sense. But when you're building new, is a product manager ever going to be a Scrum leader?
Yeah, it's possible. So Scrum is actually a very effective methodology when you apply it to teams that work together for some time or have experience. The reason for it is because Scrum actually has a lot of small details, like sizing as an example. In order for us to determine that during that sprint over 1 week, we're going to develop that one thing, we need to know from the development perspective, is it actually going to take 1 week or is it going to take 2 or 3 weeks? So the development team needs to look at the work, the description that product owner or product manager writes, saying, you know, these are the things that needs to be developed, this is the output that we're expecting from this, and say, this is actually going to take 1 week. So in order for them to understand the correct sizing of the work, it requires some kind of iteration within the team. So actually, I've experienced, I worked with a development team that worked together for about 10 years. They were so precise in their scoring that our methodology was to plan quarter ahead. So we'll actually have an outline of the work that we're planning to do for the whole quarter, which is very helpful for a product manager because I need to communicate that information to the rest of the company. If they ask me what's coming, what can I tell my customers, when this is going to be done, I can certainly tell them this is going to be done this quarter or this is not going to be done this quarter, right? So it gives you this very good precise information. But correct, if you just launch a new team, completely new team, they haven't worked with each other before, this is a new product, so they don't really know or can tell you accurately how long a certain amount of work will take to be developed. In this case, Scrum is not the best methodology. You can use a different pieces. So at HubSpot, I learned that you have to be very flexible. They hate process. There actually aren't any certified Scrum owners or product owners. It's more use a good judgment and figure out what different methodologies work at a different place. So we actually started with my current team that is a very new team and we're working on very new aspects of the products. We started with not having any process at all. So we just met in the middle of the week and we didn't have any Scrum, we didn't have any dedicated goals that we're trying to accomplish in a specific time. We just had some general idea. And then as we start working closely and closely together, now I've been there 5 months, we introducing certain elements of Scrum because now it makes sense for us. We introduce sizing because now we know how long it takes us to do certain work. we're able to track them through the systems that we use, and you can use a lot of different tools. Trello, ZenHub, there are a lot of tools that allow you to track from the moment they created their requirements till the software was produced, how long did it take, and what are the different stages of that. Is there a testing in place, or from testing did it go bad? So you can actually understand all that whole cycle, how it works, but I would definitely advise not to just blindly apply certain methodologies. Iterate all the time. See what's working, what's not working, right? If we introduce retro, but there's sometimes nothing to retro, so don't do it just because it's on the calendar, right? Apply a good judgment, apply a logic in place, save the development's time because it could be working on something important at the time. But when you see that the team is struggling or there's some miscommunications, then that's a good place to actually do the retro and understand what's going on, how we can do better.
If you have enjoyed the episode so far, check out our upcoming live events at productschool.com/events. Use the promo code PRODUCTPODCAST in all caps to get a free ticket to the next event in your city.
It actually varies across. It's very hard to say, like, product manager in this company is this specific role or across. Depending on where you work, which market you're in, the actual specializations of the product manager will differ. So a couple of examples. So what's generally on the market considered wasn't the North American market. The product owner is the person who works with the backlog mostly, so it's heavily prioritization. So if I have a backlog of a year or a quarter, I need to have it in a certain quarter. I need to tell my team what are they going to be working in Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4. But then I don't necessarily go and do the research on my own. My job is to ensure that I have all the necessary procedures in place with the team to size the work, to commit to certain goals, that they are on track to those for those goals, that I can squeeze the bugs in into the work and rearrange things when they change, because things change all the time. It's not like I've set up a backlog in the beginning of the quarter, it might actually look completely different towards the end, and I have to react to that. But I also need to ensure the team's aware of it, so it's actually a lot of work, because you're going through a lot of different communication channels. If you working in a large organization, very often you will actually have a product owner, a specific separate team. So an example, when I worked at Experian, there were other teams that own bigger products, and they had a specific role of a product owner. So if I wanted the bug fixed, I would go to the product owner, they'll tell me where in the team's velocity they could fit that work in. Product manager is mostly focusing on the strategic piece of work. So if you have two separate roles within one company, the product manager will be the person who will go and do the market research, understand how competitors are doing, where are we heading with our product, what's the future look like, not just the 12 months, but what am I trying to accomplish larger than just 12 months, where are we heading, what strategy we take, how this corresponds into actual product strategy. So if I want to be a 1 billion company in 3 years, what do I need to do within the next 3 years to get me there? And it could be a general list of features. You can say, you know what, I need to be doing this type of differentiation in the market. I need to be innovative with machine learning or AI, all this type of work. So that helps you understand in general where you're heading. And then you can come to a product owner and say, okay, this year I want us to focus on machine learning. This is the team, this is what's gonna get us to 1 billion. So you need to figure out from all the things that we have currently in the backlog, what are the things that we need to develop first to hit these experiences. So product managers are often kind of strategy, market-focused resources, but there are actually other differentiators here in the North American market now. There's a concept of a growth manager as well. So the growth manager would be a product manager who doesn't focus on developing the software, but focuses on customers utilizing the software. So they are focused on acquisition, retention goals. Their goal would be, you know, I don't want to go and develop this feature. I'm trying to understand how many people signed up to use software and then never used it, and why. What can I change in the onboarding process, working with sales, working with customer success management, or support? Maybe no one's ever asking their tickets or something. They can't figure out how to log in. You know, the button is missing or something like that. So that would be their job, is monetizing the value of the software and solely focusing on the customer experience.
In your current experience with your current company and Experian as well, what C-level chair would product management report to?
It varies across different. So usually product managers report into VPs of product. So when I worked at a startup, I reported directly to the CEO. When I worked at Experian, I reported to VP of product. now I report to director of product reports to general manager. So we have this whole new concept in HubSpot where there's actually a person responsible for revenue of that specific product. So instead of having a VP of product, we have a person who's focusing on monetization needs.
So then we, in a larger organization, not multi-headed work, in a larger organization, would there be a separate market analysis, customer analysis wing that would be a resource pool for product managers?
Yeah, so often you would have that, or you could actually have specifically a chief product officer, so there's a position for that. And then the product organization would include the research, would include the product management, product marketing as well, or marketing. If you have a product. Any other questions?
Do product managers get involved on figuring out what customers need and getting the voice of the customer and all that kind of stuff?
Yes, exactly. So if I were to give you a product today and say, go develop a product, you're now owning it. As a product manager, you own the product, right? So in order to understand what needs to be developed, you would go first at the market. Like, where are we at? How much money do we generate? How much money? Are there other solutions that offer the same thing? How much money do they generate? What is the general potential for this market? Where are we heading? Are people going to be using these type of products in 5-10 years? So you figure that piece out. Then you will be like, okay, so where do I stand with customers right now? How do I compare to my competitors? Are there how many people using their products versus how many people using my product? Do people like my product? You can easily go do the reviews. And if you're in the interviewing process to become a product manager, these are necessary things for you to do. When you go to an interview, you already need to know. You can say, you know, people hate this thing, people love this thing, this is what I would change, based on what people say. And people want to share that information online. There are a bunch of review places. So you understand it, and then you reach out to customers and talk a little bit more because they could write one thing, but they could believe a different thing. So on my daily basis, I talk to customers all the time. I probably had like 4 calls in one day just talking to customers. And I can answer the different type of questions. Understand what is their experience right now, or more future based, like where are they heading, what are the potential gaps are. So it's one of the variables. But then another aspect is, as a product manager, you also need to understand how it is you want to build. So what's technically is there? Work with engineers. Really understand, even though you're an engineer, I know, but if you're not an engineer, you think, I don't understand code, I may not actually know how it works. Still spend some time, because you need to know and have some general high-level understanding. How long things will take? Is it a simple or a hard task? And be able to point into the right directions. And then another aspect would be work with all other teams. So if you don't always talk to the customer, there are other teams that do talk to the customer, and it's important for them to, they, you know, customer success managers, they are in charge of a successful relationship with a customer. If customers constantly tell them about something, and they hear that same person, other customers, they will be a great aggregator for you. Instead of for you to 20 people, they'll tell you that one thing. So you save your time. Sales. If you can't sell because of some critical pieces of your software missing, your customers might not necessarily be able to tell you that, but the prospects is where that feedback from the market. Implementation specialists, engineers, sales engineers, or specific roles, they work on implementing your software, so they would be a good source of feedback on understanding are there any problems with onboarding, are there any bugs with the software when they're actually implementing it, so they will be a good source for that as well. So I would say product management is a very collaborative role. You have to work with a lot of people, and you have to be that kind of a filter of that feedback. Yeah, this is important, this is not, this is important, this is not. And then even if it's not important, you also still to have the feedback flow and explain to people why we're not doing this. Is it because it does not fit where we have generally with the market, or we just don't have time, so we will do that later. And having some kind of mechanism to follow up with them. Yeah.
How do you gauge the way that you're going to interact with your customers at HubSpot? Because like usually it's B2B or B2C, but HubSpot is kind of targeting like small and medium businesses, right?
Yes, exactly.
So how does that affect that whole section? Because on one side, you know, small businesses that don't understand what they're doing yet, you know, you have to account for that, and also like a normal B2B situation.
Yeah, so I would say it varies a lot, right? So at Experian, I actually wanted to talk to customers, but it was very hard for me because it's an enterprise-level company. So my last customer was Starbucks. I want to talk to them, but I had to go through 10 people to agree that I can talk to them. Because we were selling them, you know, a certain piece, but they also want a lot of other things from Experian. So there are a lot of account managers in place, and they want to ensure that when I'm communicating to customers, I have the whole history of a customer interaction in place. So it was a little bit harder for me to talk to them or reach out to them directly. So and also because it's an enterprise set of customers, you have to have a certain attitude towards that, right? So really understand what problem they're solving. How can we help them to solve that problem? And what scale they operate. When I'm talking to smaller companies, there's definitely a lot of kind of consulting type of information involved because they want to learn from you, and that's why they're willing to reach out and provide you feedback. We also have a various level of customers. We have customers who are happy with our software and customers who are not happy. So you might have a completely different experience when you're someone who isn't happy, and it's the most valuable experience, right? Because something is not working for them in the software. It's great to hear positive feedback, but that feedback will be much more useful because you can take some actions. You can go fix the bug or a problem or fix the gap with the customer's experiencing. So currently what I do, it's very simple. We have tools in place where I can understand which customer is using what. So if I'm trying to answer a specific question, who has a very low adoption of this specific feature, but it seems like a good fit to use this feature. So I'll be able to segment them. So analytics background is helpful, right? So I can segment them based on what size of the company they are, how many large in general company, how much money they pay for my software, who are their customers, and what is their business processes. And then I can see how they're using the product. So either they are heavily using one part but not other, and I can reach out to them. Just ask them, I'm the product manager. I am deciding what am I working on next. Can I get your feedback? I've noticed you're not using this feature that seems to be a good fit for your business. And they can tell me, you know, something's missing, I cannot do this with this product, so this critical one is missing, this one I'm using an integrator or some other software. Can you make that happen? And in this case, I won't specifically commit to a deadline, but I'll tell them that, yes, this is something we're working on, and can I use you as my beta tester or alpha tester, or can I show you some designs to get your opinion if this solves your problem or not? So they're a great resource in this case, but you could also have conversations where, you know, people just hate you for a specific reason, and then you also have to have a positive experience with them saying, you know, I'm not the right tool or solution for you, I understand your use case and your pain points, maybe this solution will be better for you if I don't.
And do you use your own software for like CRM?
Yes, it's actually the first thing as I started as a product manager. The first thing that they advised us to do is actually go and build a business using HubSpot and use it every day. So I use my team actually owns meetings, the tool that allows sales managers. So my target customers is a sales rep. So they use meetings on a daily basis. We built this tool that allows them to quickly book a meeting with a prospect, and I book all my meetings with my customers using my tool. So it's very easy for me to understand what's not working or what's working because I'm trying to reach out to a person, they can't pick the day, or I only want, you know, a certain number of days, or now it's inbox coming up, so my schedule will be different the next week. I was solving for them use case. So it does help me to be in that, you know, usability mode and understand the customer much better.
Do you guys become your own users? And then, like, you'll find bugs yourself, you know, going, or not bugs, but, you know, experiences that you want to make better, and do you guys have a process for improving that internally?
Sometimes, yeah. So as an example, you know, you could actually have even internal people reach out to you and tell you, oh, this isn't working for me. You're still a product manager in this case. You want to help them, but you're like, this is not a critical feature. This is only applicable to you. None of our customers thinking about this, so it's not on our priority list. So tell them, you know, this is not something we're going to be working on, so just heads up. So suck it up or use it. That's basically the result of it. Or you could actually discover something completely you never even thought about, because that is it's not necessarily that, you know, many people have to tell you that something is important. You have to use that market and customer knowledge and general knowledge to understand, is this going to be something that will make a huge impact, and recognize the opportunity. Because sometimes the opportunity is hidden, right? Not everyone sees it, and that's why it becomes huge. So that's kind of your role as a product manager, to understand the concept, which is something. My strategy for interview was, let's figure out how could we differentiate this product, because I assume your product is growing very slowly. And the response was, yes, it's growing very slowly, it's a monetized product, so what would you do differently? And I wanted to focus you know, partnership selling. That's one channel for where you're not actually developing anything, but you're bringing the product to market in a different way. So let's use our relationship to create that channel and to push sales more through the channel and set why it's working, why it's not. And also focus on what features can we develop that are unique to us that our competitors don't have. So leveraging internal data to enhance the information. And also what our competitors are not doing, but maybe eventually we'll get there. And, you know, only a few competitors are kind of looking into some innovation. Think outside the box, not just what this product should be doing, but what this product could be doing. Because you understand what is the customer flow, how customers interact with this product, what other needs they're developing as they're using this product. It doesn't have to be the same exact thing. It's completely different, but all together. So that was my strategy, and that's the strategy I communicated with all the teams, with my team, as well as customers, saying we are going to be much better than this other competitor. But there also could be things like, as I started working there, I understood that there actually could be technical things that can improve to be more scalable in terms of our processing. You know, sales start selling a lot more. What can we do to make the product work better? But those things are hard to use to win the team. You know, if you say, I'm just a little bit faster than the other team, okay, it doesn't really work. But if you say, I offer this and no one else in the market does, then it's a clear win for you. Yeah.
And like, what capacity do you collaborate with the other product managers?
Good question. So actually, it was an interesting experience before what I had. So as a startup, I only worked with myself as a product manager, and that was one of the reasons why I wanted to expand my skill set and go work with others. When I worked at Experian, I worked with a product management that was based in London, so I never saw them, basically. So it was a little bit harder to collaborate, but there were definitely instances where our product seemed to align in the roadmaps, where we could leverage each other's products to make the differentiator. So the differentiator that I mentioned was actually being able to use other products and vet them together. So my interaction with them would be to understand what's their roadmap, what are they thinking, tell them what I'm thinking, and make sure that we're in sync and we can at some point do things for each other, combine the products. Now I work with a very big product team, so it's a great experience. You can constantly learn from others what other new and unique things they are doing, and also because all products are currently kind of shared, right? So we have one big software product and different apps within. So sometimes, you know, for me, I want the back end, but someone else wants the front end. So if I want something done, I want to make sure that my back end and their front end is collaborating and actually getting it done. So constantly, I would say on a daily basis, I work with someone from a different team, ensuring that I can actually have the feature out for a customer. Yeah.
So, this interaction with other product managers, what kind of methodologies do you follow to manage the synergies and the conflicts between different product managers and their paths?
Very good question. So, as I mentioned, Experian was very methodology-driven company, so all product managers use the same system to manage their roadmaps. So if I were to be curious where someone else is working, I can just go into the system. We use AHA, A-H-A, and you can just see other product managers' roadmap. Yeah, so I can actually see that they're working on these four things in the future. There's no space to do my thing, so I should be like, you know, figure out my strategy. How do I convince them? Use the numbers, use some presentations, understand how changeable their roadmap is. So I have that full visibility. Now we aren't using anything, so the whole concept of HubSpot is that you can work autonomously as a team, and you can pick tools that you can use as a team. So I work one thing, but the other 50 managers are using really different things. So there's no way for me to easily understand what their roadmap is. It would actually have to be the interaction piece, so I would have to go find them, ask them, constantly keep them updated, and we have certain meetings in place on a larger scale where we either present things that we develop into our products, or we tell generally where we're heading in the strategy. So we use a lot of shared resources like memos and presentations where everyone has access to it. HubSpot is a very transparent company. So the leadership will tell you one story, and then everyone else will know that that's exactly where we're heading. But we don't go with a very detailed specific roadmap. So you'll know a general direction, but you don't know what are they working on in the next few months. So you'll actually have to go and ask them.
Have you ever been outpaced by another product, another wing in the product?
Yeah, that happens all the time, right? So that's why it's so important to keep that transparency and having those frequent changes of launches to understand what people do. We actually have some of the alignment meetings where we have a lot of designers in a lot of different groups, and we want to make sure that the designers are actually aligned in what they're working on, and if there's some new and cool things that they're developing, other teams are aware of it so they could leverage that instead of developing their own. That saves resources and that saves time. It does take, I'm sure at some point we'll reach the stage where the process is necessary, and I think we're getting close to that, but right now it's working well by just using fewer meetings, more transparency.
Thanks for listening to the Product Podcast. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes. If you want to know more about our courses and next course, visit productschool.com. Stay tuned for the next episode to learn more about the secrets in product management.